Welcome to the Ed Show, number 77.
That's right.
Did you know that was my football number when I was in high school?
Yeah, which football? The kicking football or the throwing football?
The throwing football. I played for less than one season, so basically two games before they took me out.
Nice. Well, I actually played American football as well, despite the English accent, too. I was number 48 playing tight end.
I figured 77 would give me more luck.
There you go.
Didn't work. Did not work. But we're here for the Ed Show. A little bit of interesting stuff's going on. We've got a bunch of news to talk about. But first, I wanted to at least do a quick little shout-out. Another show that I happen to do, which is starting back up again. You might know it. It is called The Countdown Show for Tech Ed North America 2014, taking place in Houston, Texas on May 12th through to the 15th. Stay tuned. We'll have the links for that particular episode. We're looking at about a monthly cadence. We don't want to have like a weekly countdown show. That'd be just crazy this early in the day. We got some neat announcements coming out on that particular one there to start that one off, my friend.
Sounds good. Well, my first announcement is I want to point people out to this really good blog to help our developers get set up using their actual environments, using SharePoint, using Visual Studio. Now, for IT pros, as we're kind of figuring how do we simplify life for our developers, We want to think about using Azure as much as possible. We can simply pick images, spin them up. And if you go through this blog, it'll actually kind of walk you through the best practices of actually setting up Visual Studio, setting up SharePoint. And I even wanted to jump over to a demo. So if you have any Live ID account, you can actually go to manage.windowsazure.com, log in, and you actually get a live Windows Azure portal to start playing around with. So kind of a low-risk way to experiment.
And this automatically has the billing caps in place that if you start stuff up and you work with stuff, it doesn't go above the zero balance billing, just to make
that
sure.
That is my assumption, but yes. Don't hold us to that, okay?
No. So, I'm positive it's the way it's set up.
And so what we could do here, just go into the gallery, say, I want a new virtual machine. Look at all of these preloaded ones we have.
Yep.
From Windows Server 2012, R2 Preview, SharePoint Server, a lot of different SQL instances, BizTalk, and here's the Visual Studio one that you're going to use to set up for your developers. But even looking beyond that, one of the big announcements recently was Oracle integration, Oracle support.
Yep.
And you can see we've got all of these database servers loaded. OpenSUSE, Linux, Ubuntu, all these different Linux distributions as well. So kind of a great way to get started with your Azure accounts and get your developers ready.
It's not just Microsoft anymore. Lots of stuff in there. Go check it out. Some very, very cool stuff. I've got a link here for AppLocker. New design guides and deployment guides have been set up and available on the Microsoft Download Center. If you're not familiar with AppLocker, that's basically the way you can go through and identify which applications your users are allowed to run for enterprise environments that are domain joined. Think of it sort of like if you're not familiar with AppLocker, the old-fashioned enhanced version of simply whitelisting and blacklisting applications with group policy. This goes down to the next level of control and granularity. Go check that one out. It's a good download on the design guide.
So the next blog that just came out that we're kind of excited about gives a lot of guidance for our mobile developers, how they can use some of our back-end infrastructure, specifically the cloud services provided by Windows Azure.
Hey, now watch out a second. Now, you develop Windows Phone apps.
That's right, I do.
Unlike myself, I've never done it before. So do you use this sort of stuff as well?
I actually have. You know, one example that I really found useful, I build a trivia app. And one request that I got from a lot of customers is just having a shared database so people can see their high scores, you can see how you're doing compared to other people. So I use one of our cloud services, set up a SQL Azure database, and then as all of my different users around the world submit their scores after they complete a round of trivia, they'll all get aggregated, they'll see top 10 lists, things like that.
Sweet.
So super simple example, really easy to set up, took me about an hour and a half to get it up and running. Mm-hmm. So you know, we're actually using this as well, even though we're kind of IT pros, trying to cross over. So if you're working with developers, you have developers in your company, definitely a great resource to check out for all these different best practices, other resources to help our application developers as well.
I've got another one here for Link certification. Link 2013 basically just received a new certification called the JITC certification for voice, video, and instant messaging and presence information. So basically, if you think of it as your entire suite of what Link is possibly able to do. Basically, it is now available to work at the Joint Interoperability Testing Center for the DOJ, which translated into regular everyday human terms means that, hey, you can use Link on certified government secure networks with more details specifically from the blog that I'm actually not all that familiar with. I found this one here just recently in the Firehose blog. Has a reference to that sort of certification specific to secure government networks.
Very nice. Well, we had another security enhancement or security certification. And this is a tough one. I'm going to have to read this one out slowly. It's the Joint Authorization Board Provision Authority to Operate, or the JAB PATO. And to translate
rolls off
that,
the tongue.
It's really smooth, right? To translate that from purely acronyms to something that makes sense, basically it's saying Windows Azure is the first public cloud service that offers both infrastructure as a service and platform as a service to be certified by the federal government.
Okay.
So if you're a Department of Defense contractor, Homeland Security, U.S. General Services Administration, fully certified, so you can now use Windows Azure for all of these highly secure integrated applications as well.
That's a good distinction that separates us from our competitors, being the fact that we offer both platform and infrastructure service on one network, and that network has already been approved. So very cool there. You don't have to worry about separate certification processes.
Absolutely. And now to wrap it up, I think this one kind of ties in a little bit to your interview that's coming up next,
yeah.
right, with our celebrity, Brad Anderson,
yes.
corporate vice president. So
yeah.
tell me a little more about, first of all, Oracle and
So Mr. Anderson, Brad Anderson, recently spoke at, of all places, Oracle Open World keynote. He was actually asked to come in and do a keynote just before Larry came on stage and talked about the joint offerings that we have together between Microsoft and Oracle to be able to enable workloads like Oracle inside the cloud. Also being able to use their services on our Windows Azure service and others, and license portability between the two of them as well. So very, very cool stuff. The cloud provider that we're the cloud provider that is able to support that. He's got the keynote video that's in there. I think it's about 45 minutes long. We've got the links to that particular video that's there. And the interview following this, after this news segment, is going to be my wrap-up interview with him on his 9-part series that he did about the main three capabilities being PCIe for the Windows Server.
Sorry, spell this one out, PCIe.
You're making me, you're going to call me on this one here. People-centric IT,
there you go.
Transform the data center, and also enabling modern apps on the cloud.
I'm glad you knew that.
I know. I have to keep track of these TLAs and FLAs, man. It's kind of crazy. Anyway, so we wrapped up that 9-part series. Phenomenal resources. I'm actually pointing a lot of people to that whole series just to kind of position where things are and how we see our vision for where we're going with System Center and for Windows Server as a solution. At the end of each one of those 9-part articles, they have about a dozen or more different blog links to the technical articles by the engineers. So great series, links down below. My final interview with him is coming up right after the break. Welcome back. Another special edition of The Ed Show here on Channel 9. And I'm once again have Brad Anderson, Corporate Vice President, Windows Server and System Center, is back to join us for a wrap-up of that 9-part series that's been extremely successful to date so far. And this last part is around enabling the modern apps. And, give me your thoughts. How did the last couple of posts go, and what are some thoughts around those posts and how they were received?
You know, it's, I think the overall reception and the amount of individuals that have come and looked at these blog posts and what we've done with you and with TechNet, you know, you've driven well over, you know, several million views have come up and looked at the content.
Mm-hmm.
And really, our intent of doing this was all about, hey, we're on a one-year cycle. You know, from the preview to release is only a couple of months, so it's just dramatically different than anything we've done in the past. And so the intent was, how do we help educate and how do we help the world understand how much innovation is in this? Because we were just amazed at how much work we were able to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And this last series, we kind of focused on, you know, the third promise of the Cloud OS. And just to recap that for a minute. As a part of the Cloud OS, we think there are four promises that we are delivering on for the organizations around the world. It's, how do you move to the cloud and transform your data center? How do you embrace the consumerization of IT with what we call people-centric IT? How do you modernize your applications? And a lot of that has to do with consistency across clouds. And then the fourth one is all about, you know, getting insights out of your data. I think that's one of the areas we want to focus on as we go forward.
Mm-hmm.
But these last couple of posts all focused on really on the developer, and it focused on how can developers build their applications taking advantage of some of the things that we've pioneered in Azure, like Service Bus, you know, like high density websites.
Mm-hmm.
And it really focused on how can you do that in a way that to build your applications. And I really try to focus a lot on why is this important for IT professionals. You know, many IT professionals would say, well, those posts were really kind of targeted towards developers. Why, as an IT professional, would I even care about this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the answer is actually really simple. If you understand inherently the architecture of the applications, if you understand how the applications are built, you're going to have a deeper understanding, and you're going to be able to make sure that they're operated in a way that they were made to be operated. You know, so one of the things I encourage IT professionals is to really understand deeply the architecture and how the applications have been built, you know, whether that's an ISV or often your line of business application. Because I can guarantee, if you understand how the apps are built, if you understand how they were meant to be deployed by the developers, you're going to have a lot higher degree of success in operating them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as you mentioned, there definitely was a focus more on the developer side, but there was definitely very good, strong, meaty content in there mm-hmm. for the IT pros. And talking about the DevOps aspect of yep. things, talking about the as you mentioned, the service bus, but also an example that was being used was the websites concept of having Azure websites up there and working. Great stuff as far as wrapping that all up. Now, with the series now wrapped up, and we've now moved into an environment where the bits are available to be able to use. We've now hit RTM, and GA is coming down the road. What are you guys doing now? Yeah. Is the Windows Server and System Center teams now finally able to rest a little bit and recuperate and then
a little bit? It's been a pretty chaotic summer, you know. But even before we kind of go to what's coming next, I just want to just spend a little bit more time on those last couple of posts, because I think that there's a couple of interesting points for the IT pros and the people watching this to think about.
Yeah.
And one of the things that there are two things I just want to spend a couple of minutes on. The first one is we are delivering through what we call the Windows Azure Pack, something we call Service Bus. Mm-hmm. And Service Bus is this bus that allows you to do things like provide some separation between the different tiers of your application, allows you to integrate with other cloud apps, other SaaS apps. It really is kind of an integration layer that allows you to do a lot of great things. And in the post, we go through the detail of talking about, you know, hey, if you were building a website and that website had a storefront and then it had, you know, a back-end system that would take the orders and then, you know, go do the appropriate work to ship the orders, those types of pieces out, it talks about how you can separate those to where you can make sure that you always have the capacity for the storefront to handle. So, you know, you think about, you know, you run a sale, it's Black Friday, you know, those days when your demand is going to peak. You know, integrating with Service Bus allows you to have this queue mm-hmm. that as those requests come in, they can all be queued up. And then your back end can just be servicing those on demand as it has capacity. And it really is a great example of how to build your application in a way where you can think about the tiers in a somewhat isolated way, but talk about how they come together, leveraging that Service Bus as kind of the glue that holds it all together. Mm-hmm. That was pioneered in Azure. And so, we, you know, that's been a fundamental component of Azure since, I think, 2009, mm-hmm. maybe 2010. But it's another one of those wonderful examples of our cloud-first design principles and how we have taken, built things in Azure, proven it, battle-hardened, you know, is what I like to say, and then brought it on-premises to run for organizations. And so, a wonderful example of us executing on our vision of delivering consistency across clouds. Mm-hmm. And we're honestly trying to hold ourselves to this bar that says, and when we say cloud consistency, we should be able to have our developers develop an application and then to deploy that in any Microsoft cloud without having to modify the code and without IT professionals have to change their processes and the tools that they're using. That literally is the bar that we're trying to hold.
Okay.
The other piece I think is just, again, super interesting to talk about is the portal framework when you come into Azure. When you come into Azure, there's this beautiful experience that allows you to go and provision VMs and actually operate and interoperate with the infrastructure as a service capabilities. We've made the decision that as a part of our cloud consistency architecture and work, we're going to use that same framework for our on-premises tenants as well. Mm-hmm. So whether you're an enterprise or you're a service provider, the organizations or the individuals and teams that are going to use the cloud capacity that you're building will actually be using the exact same portal framework that we run in Azure.
So as long as you have the System Center 2012 implementation of private cloud down inside your environment, the Azure Pack is an add-on that you can basically go and apply over top of it to give you the same experience.
That's right. So we've taken Windows Server and we've taken System Center and something inside the System Center called SPF, the Service yep. Provider Framework. That's integrated with the Windows Azure Pack, and that stack, okay, Windows Server, System Center, and the Windows Azure Pack is really what our private and hosted cloud is built on. Mm-hmm. And you know, as a part of that consistency, whether you're using capacity as a consumer of the cloud, that's in your data center, so a private cloud, mm-hmm. in a hosted data center, or in Azure, you're going to have the same exact experience. And that's been one of the things that throughout the summer, throughout the spring, we've demoed in all the different events and keynotes that we've done. Mm-hmm. That consistency, that familiarity, is what allows you as an IT professional to use multiple clouds and have it all feel like one thing. Mm-hmm. And so again, another one of those examples of us proving something, trying it, all the research, refining it in Azure, and then bringing it on premises. Mm-hmm. And so for service providers specifically, one thing I would call out here is, you know, Azure is actually helping us improve the work that we're doing for service providers, because we learn a great deal and we take that learning and then we bring it to service providers who, you know, like most organizations, are incredibly concerned about their cost and their reliability and the availability. But that experience that we've now delivered gives that consistent and a very rich experience for an IaaS solution, independent mm-hmm. of its private hosted or public. So those things are just wonderful examples of things that we are doing to ensure that we have that consistency across right. clouds. Okay.
And it's not just for service providers, obviously.
Nope.
That may have been a bit of a misconception. It is able to be used by everyday enterprises of a variety of different sizes.
Yep.
As long as they have those different layers, they can put that on top.
One thing I like to say is we're all really service providers in the end.
Good point, yeah.
You know, if I'm an enterprise, if I'm a medium-sized organization, I'm providing infrastructure as a service to my developers, mm-hmm. to my customers, you know, to the organization as a whole. So I think thinking about it that way and thinking about what am I doing, whether I'm a service provider or whether I'm an enterprise or commercial organization, what's the service I'm delivering to the business? What's the service I'm delivering to, you know, to my dev test and the teams that are using it? And I think if we get into that context and actually think about them that way, and then think about how you have that consistency and enable the consumers of your cloud to be able to burst out, to be able to use, you know, your capacity, a service provider capacity, Azure, in a consistent experience, I think that's pretty powerful. I think that's what most organizations want. No mm-hmm. one wants lock-in. They want the ability to be able to move their services and their application where they think is best. And a core part of that, I think, is that consistent experience.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the cycle now.
Yeah, what's next?
So the cycle-wise, we're through this now phase of having the development pieces take place. The bits have been shipped. They're now off to RTM, and now we're on the way towards general availability
yep.
and stuff like that. Can you just let me give me a little bit of a peek behind the curtain for what exactly is the cycle that your organization runs on?
Yeah.
To understand a little bit about this whole concept of release to manufacturing and general availability. What goes on before that?
Yeah, you know,
a lot. And I'm assuming that, as you mentioned, I'm assuming that you guys are not just, you know, laying around waiting for the next one. You're already engaged the next day.
No, it's really interesting because, you know, at Microsoft, we talk about discipline excellence. You have a program management discipline, you've mm-hmm. got developers, and you have developers in test. And it's interesting, as you go through the cycle, you know, all of us kind of have peaks and valleys as we go through, depending upon what our function is. So the way to think about it is, you know, if you kind of step back 6 to 9 months before we even start developing on a new cycle, mm-hmm. there's a bunch of investigations that we do. So we have a set of planners. Those planners, you know, they work for me, and we ask them to go out and investigate specific areas for us. And they go out, they look at the trends, they do a bunch of first-party research, they pull together third-party research, and they come and they educate all of the leaders in the organization about what we call areas of investigation. So we get a good kind of a baseline. That all leads then, and we publish a document we call the planning document. That planning document we send to the organization and say, hey, here are the themes, here are the areas, here's the trends, here's what's happening in the industry, and here are the things that we want to go do in this next release. You know, it sets when the timeline is going to be, all those aspects. Here is what we want to go accomplish. Here are the key scenarios. Here are the key areas that we're going to differentiate, and here are the key things that we're going to do to move the industry forward. We send that out to the organization, and the whole organization goes into what we call planning. Mm-hmm. You know, and planning is a couple of months where the whole organization is focused on prototyping. We're going and looking at what the end-to-end scenarios are, coordinating across all the teams, across all the company, lining up all the dependencies. And then at the end of that planning, we publish what we call the vision memo. Mm-hmm. And that vision memo literally is our commitment to ourselves, to the company, to the industry about here are the scenarios that we are committing to deliver as a company, as a team, to the industry on this date. Okay, and so we're in the process right now of planning. I sent out the planning memo several weeks ago, mm-hmm. and you know, we are not sitting idle. Believe me, the team is heavily engaged. In fact, I was meeting with all my direct reports yesterday, and I think the level of stress as we're trying to coordinate. I think if you look at what we did in the R2 releases, there's a lot of broad Microsoft end-to-end scenarios. Mm-hmm. That theme is going to get even more rich. And so as we're coordinating across literally the entire company and some of the things that we want to go drive, the level of work, the level of conversations, engagement, dependency mapping that we're having to do is actually quite complex and quite mm-hmm. rich. So we're planning like, you know, like there's no tomorrow.
Now, has it changed from how you've done it in the past because mm-hmm. of our more rapid or more compressed yeah. time frames that we're trying to deliver these new releases? Is that something that you've noticed with this particular round?
Yeah, I think the concepts have remained the same, but the time frames have compressed dramatically. You know, if you think about, you know, going back several years, planning was a year. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we would plan for a year, and that now has been compressed into literally a couple of months. Mm-hmm. So I think there's more tops-down direction than there's been in the past in order to focus the teams, you know, quicker. But we've had to just change how we do things and how we work through the dependencies. That's actually the most complex thing about planning is working through the dependencies, what work has to be done, when does it all come in, how does that all get aligned, and how does it all get scheduled. Mm-hmm. We just have to do it faster, and we just have to do it better.
And I'm assuming this is would this be the second round now that you've got the two different teams that are now one team working together
So you're saying Windows Server and System Center, but it's also all coordinated with Windows.
That's true, okay. Yeah,
you know, and so, and then, you know, quite honestly, coordinated with Office, coordinated mm-hmm. with, you know, more cross-company in this particular round than we've ever done.
So besides planning,
yep,
all the other stuff you got planned out, I'm curious to find out, do you have more stuff planned out for the blog?
Yeah.
So what's your plans for what's going on in the blog over the next little while?
Yeah. Next, we've actually got a series that's approaching 30 different posts. And 30, yeah, it's a lot.
You went from 9 to 30.
Yeah, and it's funny, 9 was kind of covering the breadth of all the R2 releases.
Yeah.
We have 30 planned posts now coming that focus just on hybrid cloud, on what we call the hybrid way. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to cover everything from, you know, how do you deploy our private clouds? How do you optimize it? How do you deploy our workloads in there? In depth, you know, 30 different posts, again, being written by the program managers across the team that really will help organizations and individuals understand best how we built, you know, our private cloud, mm-hmm. how we thought it would be operated, the best practices that we have called out for that, and then getting very, very specific on, you know, hey, here's how you should run Exchange in a Microsoft private cloud. Here's how you should run VDI, mm-hmm. and going through that level of detail. And then even kind of saying, hey, if you're in a finance organization or energy or automotive, you know, just even taking some of the things that we've learned as we've worked closely with a number of customers in specific verticals about how what we've learned from them and how others in the same verticals could be thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And then after that, you know, there's a whole body of work being built out right now to really go into the consumerization of IT trends, you know, and what we call the people-centric IT pillar, what we're doing in that space. And with this whole R2 release, one of the things that I'm most really intrigued to kind of see how the work that we've done is embraced is the new version of Intune that comes out in October. And how we've integrated that with Config Manager, and really, you know, the level of work that we've done, you know, in Windows, in iOS, in Android, mm-hmm. It's going to be one of those first times where the company portal that we built, that self-service experience, is going to be in our stores, it's going to be in Apple stores, it's going to be the Android stores, and one of the great things about services is you get to see that telemetry every day coming in, and it's mm-hmm. just, it is so cool to actually see how people are using the technology, how they're embracing it, the rate at which it's taking off, and you know, a lot of that in the past would be kind of survey-based, or you know, with some of the data we get back when people opt in to send us telemetry back, but this is real time, and every day you can take a look at it, and that is fun. That is one of the fun changes that you get to participate in as you start building services.
That's great. Call outs for, again, the reminders of the audience for the blog to be able to go and follow up with this new series coming out. Your Twitter handle, I guess, is going to be a little bit busy over the next little while, potentially.
Yeah, it will be. It's In the Cloud MSFT. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you go to In the Cloud MSFT, that's the blog, and from there you can link out to the Twitter handle, everything. And it has been a lot of fun getting this off the ground and getting it rolling.
I really appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy and compressed schedule to kind of talk to us. I hope we'll be able to get some time in the future posts and future series
to
also stop by and have some updates too, besides at the big conferences. And thank you very much for spending the time with us. If you have any comments, you want to get hold of us again, you can reach us at edge@microsoft.com for any comments or anything. I'll make sure to pass them on to yourself. But also, obviously, going off and checking out In the Cloud blog is going to be one of the primary ways.
In the Cloud MSFT.
In the Cloud MSFT for the short URL to be able to get back to us. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Wow, that was actually a pretty cool interview. I hadn't seen that before, but he kind of wraps up and really explains like this vision of the Cloud OS, how we're really trying to pull our Azure, our System Center, Windows Server together. So great resource. And I think we want to encourage people to check out the others in the series as well.
Oh, definitely. That's definitely a good wrap up to the whole plethora of where it goes. Plus, he's pretty excited and stoked about being asked to present at Open World, which is kind of cool. If you want to leave some comments about this particular show or some suggestions on other topics we can cover, the best place to do it is down below inside the comment area. if you're watching this on Channel 9. Or you can always send us a good old-fashioned email with edge@microsoft.com. There's a quick way to do that one there. Our Facebook page is available. Links are down below. And then finally, we're also available on Twitter, taking a look at @TNEdge on the Twitter pages as well. We do answer and respond and look for new suggestions and questions as we go there. Thanks a lot for sticking around for the news, my friend.
You're welcome.
Hey, we'll catch you next time with the next show, and see you online.